Welcome to Collaborating, the podcast series of the Collaborative for Business Development. Welcome back to Collaborating. This is Mike Slemmer on the second of two podcasts on motivation. And in this one, as promised, I'll focus on salespeople specifically. Times are tough for many companies, and keeping sales folk up in tough times is really important. And so we'll talk about some things that sales managers can do to instill motivation to the degree it can be instilled, and just more on the topic around sales individuals, sales execs, and their motivation. But let's start with an often overlooked aspect of managing and motivating salespeople, and that is the recruiting and selecting of sales execs. As I said in podcast one on this topic, and a lot of research shows, motivation really starts within. So if you think about it, you'd better be sure you've got the A players in the saddle. And the A players not just in skills, but in motivation, personal motivation. So part of this comes from having the job well-defined, the compensation is well-defined and fair. All that is very important. This is fundamental to you doing your part to keep sales folk motivated. But to too many hiring managers, hiring really is just a gut feel and more an art than science. It's the necessary evil. I've got to do this hiring process. I got to look at resumes. But it's not something that many people are into, many sales managers that we've seen are into. The hiring process then reflects this casual attitude. And even if the candidate does then come aboard, oftentimes too much has been left to chance. Conducting rigorous interviewing and reference checking are really important pieces. So in this process, what's often overlooked, we found, is ensuring that the behavior style and values of the sales candidate aligns with those needed for your sales role and for your company generally. Now, science can be brought into this process, into the art of hiring, so to speak, by using behavioral style assessment tools such as DISC, which stands for Dominance, Influence, Steadiness, and Compliance, to align the candidate's behavior style with the style required by the job, and therefore to indicate or to show areas of mismatch that should be further investigated through further questioning and examples. Also, another tool called PAV, Personal Interest, Attitudes, and Values, assesses a person's values. What's their motivators? And this tool, too, can be aligned with what is required in a sales role. You want a salesperson to be driven by money, right? High utilitarian. This tool can assess that as well. Now, an upcoming podcast will go into this in much more detail. But if you're curious now, go to our website, www.the-collaborative.com, to the Behavioral Tools tab. That's the yellow one on the far right, up there on the homepage, to learn more about it now. Nothing will kill motivation faster than a mismatch between person and role. And these assessments go a long way to surface any mismatch problems prior to sending that offer letter. Also, personal motivation is often given short shrift in the interviews and the reference checks themselves compared to sales skills. You typically ask more about how did you make the numbers, take me through a sale, that kind of thing. Motivation is not checked on as much. But here are some questions you can ask the candidate. And they're not just fluff questions. They're questions that demand real examples. So the first one is, what qualitative goals, not quantitative, what qualitative goals, such as skill development, teamwork, etc., did you have over the course of your sales life at XYZ company? And how did you perform against those goals you set? What did you do to improve in those areas? Second question, describe what you've done when you were not making your numbers to improve upon that situation. What was the result and how long did it take to turn things around? Third question you could ask, what do you consider the four or five most crucial aspects to being a top salesperson? And give me examples of each from your career. Finally, Tell me about the last three books you've read. So what you're looking for here is for them to show that they're improving themselves by reading about sales skills and salesmanship, that they're improving themselves that way, that they're reading something by, who knows, Tom Hopkins or Bob Keller or Tom Fries. So there are just a few examples of some of the questions you can ask to get at motivation in the hiring process, in the interview. Okay, so you have your team set, everyone's hired and gung-ho to sell, working their ABCs, always be closings. But when the economy is rocky, like now, and many firms aren't meeting sales goals, there's every reason for motivation to potentially drop. So reinforcing things like focus on the positives, stay in constant contact with customers, increase networking activities, and don't prejudge the prospect, call them all, are trotted out to hopefully give discouraged salespeople new ideas for success. And in tough times, the sales manager, of course, you the sales manager, is often on the hot seat to come up with new ideas and find new ways, or effective old ways, to help salespeople bring in business and keep them motivated. So here, with that in mind, is a top five list of ideas to help the beleaguered sales manager meet this challenge. Number one, ask so what of your products and your story. With economic winds blowing in your corporate face, it's a good idea to critically assess whether more than just the economy has moved against you. You may have had clear positioning and differentiation in the past, but it is possible that other factors are at work. Take a fresh look at your products and what you're telling the market by applying the so what test. That is, stepping into the prospect's shoes as they ask a very pertinent question. So what? Why should I listen to you, and how are you different from your competition? Have competitors usurped your pole position? Have new entrants taken away your uniqueness? Be brutally honest to determine if changes must be made to products, services, and your marketing. And of course, in this process, solicit feedback from the troops in the field, your salespeople. Ask them what they're hearing. Listen to them honestly. Don't gratuitously hear them and discard it. They're your intel for how maybe your product story, your messaging, your positioning should or could change. Secondly, add training in weak areas. Good salespeople are always eager to learn how to become great ones. Tough times expose weaknesses, or at least incent most sales execs to determine where and how they could improve, as their managers spend extra time helping them assess weaknesses, outline a remedial plan, and then act on it. Through this process, you may even find a new skill or two to teach them. Being willing to spend money on outside training and coaching will reaffirm your faith in them and will be a boon to morale. If training funds are limited, one low-cost way is to call upon internal experts. We know of a firm that did this by starting a quote-unquote university and bringing in, quote, professors. These were people from within the firm to teach sales and industry fundamentals. A combination of recognition and maybe monetary rewards usually motivates these budding professors. Third, take unnecessary tasks off salespeople's plates. Make sure that the salespeople are wholly focused on selling. Time and again, we see sales execs spending too much of their time, more certainly than what they signed up for, supporting clients, writing marketing copy, and doing other non-sales activities that are at odds with their behavior style, certainly, with their compensation plans, and with their motivations, their values. Now, outside resources can provide many of these support functions when there are no or little funds to hire for these roles internally. But in general, be attuned to removing obstacles to their selling success. Number four, enhance incentives. You may feel that compensation plans are already quote-unquote rich, or at least very good, and so management may resist making them richer. But most good salespeople have a very high utilitarian value, you know, again, very driven by money, as I mentioned earlier. Additional bonuses, overrides, or even temporary hikes in commission rates may motivate most sales execs to exert even more effort and creativity during hard times. And fifth and finally, be a servant to your team. Certainly a key requirement of any leader is that they will do whatever it takes to make better the lives of those whom they lead. While this is true in good times or bad, it becomes really critical during tough times. Be extra willing and available to coach, go on calls, strategize, and otherwise remove obstacles to a salesperson's success. As sales manager, it's also important to keep your own morale high. Make sure you're communicating well with your boss and asking for the same response as I've already suggested that salespeople do with you. Keep doing whatever you normally do to accentuate the positives, and know that when it comes to a bad business cycle, this too shall pass. And so that's it on motivation, our two-part series about motivating and motivation. Of course, and as usual, we welcome your comments and response. Email us to mike@the-collaborative.com. Respond on our website under blogs to this particular podcast. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you. And stay tuned for the next podcast. And until then, keep on collaborating.